Chapter 2. A Puzzling Robbery.
About a month passed when one morning in March, Mrs. Bunting heard noises outside her bedroom window.
"Wake up! Wake up!" she whispered to her sleeping husband, the Reverend. "Someone's in the house!" He got up, took a poker from the fireplace, and crept out into the hallway. He heard the sound of sneezing downstairs. The Reverend and Mrs. Bunting slowly made their way down the stairs. They heard the sound of paper rustling in the study. They came to the door and peered in. What should have been a dark room was now lit by a candle. In the light, they could see that one of the drawers had been opened, but there was no sign of a burglar in the room. Suddenly, there was a sound. Clink, clink. "He has found our money," Mrs. Bunting whispered. "It's more than £2,000. The Reverend was very angry now. He rushed in and yelled,
"I've caught you. Surrender yourself."
Mrs. Bunting rushed in behind her husband. Both of them were completely dumbfounded.
"But the room is empty,"
the Reverend cried.
"Listen," exclaimed his wife. "There is someone here. I can hear breathing."
They searched the room but could find no one.
"Someone was definitely here. The lamp is lit and our money is gone."
Achoo!
The sound of someone sneezing came from the hall, and the Buntings ran out to see who was there. They rushed into the hallway, only to hear the kitchen door slam. They ran and flung it open, but saw no one. It was not long after the burglary when the Halls got up and found that the front door of their inn was unlocked.
"I know I locked the door last night," said Mrs. Hall.
"Who else would do this?"
said Mr. Hall, pointing to the strange man's room. They went up to the man's room. They knocked on the door, but there was no reply.
"Let's go in," said Mrs. Hall.
They opened the door, and when they entered, they saw no one in the room.
"It's empty, but all of his clothes are here. And look at all of these bandages," commented Mrs. Hall. "His bed is cold. That means he's been up for a while."
At that moment, the strangest thing occurred. All of the sheets bundled themselves up together and then jumped over the bed. Then the stranger's hat flew through the air and hit Mrs. Hall in the face. There was a terrible sound of a wicked laugh. Next, they saw an armchair moving through the air toward them. Mrs. Hall screamed and felt herself being pushed out of the room with her husband in front of her. Then the door slammed shut and the bolt locked. Mrs. Hall said to her husband,
"He deals with the devil. He has evil spirits in there."
"There has to be another explanation,"
said her husband.
"I want him out of my inn. He has put evil spirits in the furniture," said Mrs. Hall.
Suddenly, they heard a noise at the top of the stairs.
"Stay out of my room. You have no right to go in there,"
the stranger shouted at them. Now the Halls stared at each other.
"How is that possible? We were just there. He wasn't. How could he?"
Mrs. Hall gasped. But for the rest of the morning, they did not see him. In fact, they even ignored the bell when he rang. By noon, everyone had heard about the burglary at the Buntings' house. All the regulars were at the bar, gossiping about the robbery. It was quite noisy when the conversation suddenly halted. The stranger had entered the bar and demanded,
Why didn't you bring me my breakfast, and why didn't you answer the bell?
You haven't paid your bill. No money, so no food or room, Mrs. Hall replied angrily.
I told you I would give it to you in a few days. Here it is now.
Well, that's interesting. How did you get it? And you have to explain what you did to my furniture and how you got in your room without coming through the door, she demanded. This made the man very angry.
Stop this! You have no idea about me!
He shouted.
Very well, then. I'll show you.
The man put his hand to his face. He put a small rubbery thing in her hand.
Look! It's his nose! He has a hole in his face!
Everyone screamed. Then the man tore off his glasses and everything on his face. Suddenly, the man dressed in a long coat had no head. Everyone became hysterical and ran out of the inn. No one had been prepared to see such a thing. Mrs. Hall said, "He is an evil spirit!" A policeman who had heard all the commotion came and asked,
"What on earth is going on here?"
"A headless man is inside the inn,"
Mr. Hall told him.
"Very well,"
said the policeman.
"I will go and arrest him."
Mr. Hall and the policeman went into the inn. The innkeeper pointed at a headless body and said,
"There he is."
The stranger now asked angrily,
"What do you think you are doing?"
The policeman said,
"I must arrest you."
"Keep away from me,"
the stranger cautioned. The policeman moved toward the stranger. The stranger now removed one of his gloves and hit the policeman with his fist.
"Grab his legs!"
shouted the policeman. Mr. Hall tried to grab his legs, but the stranger hit him hard. The policeman finally managed to push the stranger to the ground.
"I give up!"
said the stranger. He stood up and quickly started to remove his clothes. The two men saw a clothed body bending over to remove shoes that had no feet. Mr. Hall exclaimed,
"That's not a man. There's nothing inside the shirt."
He put his hand out to see if he could touch the man, but then there was a loud shriek.
"Ow! That's my eye! I am a man. I'm just invisible. But that doesn't give you the right to arrest or poke me in the eye."
Then the policeman said,
"I'm arresting you for the burglary of the Buntings' house."
But by now, the man had removed his shoes, socks, and trousers. All they could see was a shirt running around the room. Just outside of Iping, a tramp, Thomas Marvel, sat looking at two pairs of shoes, trying to decide which pair to wear. He was studying the boots intently when a voice behind him said,
"Both of them are very ugly."
"Yes,"
said the tramp.
"Which one should I wear?"
Then he turned his head to ask,
"What are you wearing?"
But as he finished his question, he saw no one was there.
"I am mad,"
he said aloud.
"No, you're not,"
said the voice behind him.
"Where are you?"
asked the tramp.
"I must be drunk or just talking to myself."
"No, don't worry. You are not drunk."
The tramp looked around again, feeling very confused.
"I'm sure I heard a voice."
Just then, something grabbed Marvel by the collar and shook him.
"You're not imagining anything,"
said the voice.
"I am an invisible man."
Marvel then said,
"I am a tramp, but I'm not an idiot. No one can be invisible."
that moment, the tramp felt something grab his hand, and he jumped back. Then Marvel put out his hand to feel the hand that had grabbed his. He then felt an arm, a chest, then a beard.
"This is truly amazing,"
said the tramp.
"How is this possible?"
"I will tell you later,"
said the invisible man.
"Now, I need your help. Society has rejected both of us, so we should try to help each other."
"How could I help you?"
asked Marvel.
"First, with clothes and shelter. I can also help you. Can you imagine what power I have? If you betray me, I could do terrible things."
The tramp was very frightened now.
"All right, I won't betray you,"
he stuttered.
"Don't worry, I will help you."
Back in Iping, everything had settled down. People felt a mixture of doubt that the strange man had existed, and relief that he was gone. At about 4 in the afternoon, however, a tramp entered the village and went straight to the strange man's room. The tramp saw two men, Dr. Cuss and Reverend Bunting, looking through three large books.
"It's some kind of code,"
said Dr. Cuss.
"What are you doing?"
asked the tramp. The two men looked up but were relieved to see a tramp.
"The bar is below,"
said the doctor.
"Thank you,"
replied Marvel. He went downstairs, had a drink, and went out to wait below the invisible man's room. Back in the bedroom, the two men were looking through the books. Suddenly, they felt something cold and sharp against their necks.
"I don't want to hurt you, but you've given me no choice,"
said a familiar voice.
"What gave you the right to look through my private things? And where are my clothes?"
"Mrs. Hall took them."
"Well then, I'll just have to..."
"No!"
screamed the doctor and the reverend. Minutes later, a bundle of books flew out of the window. They were caught by the tramp. Mr. Huckster, a shop owner across the street, saw this and yelled out,
"Stop! Thief!"
He started to run after the tramp, but felt himself punched in the face. He fell to the ground unconscious. A few moments later, Dr. Cuss came running down the stairs of the inn. He shouted out,
"He has my trousers and all of the Reverend's clothing! Stop him!"
Behind him, the Reverend came running out, covering his body with a rug and a daily newspaper. The two men went running down the street and tripped over Mr. Huckster's unconscious body. Other people had come to see what the commotion was about. It was at that time that people were thrown to the ground or punched in the face. Terrified, everyone ran away. However, the invisible man was very angry. He returned to the town and started to destroy everything. With an axe, he chopped Mr. Hall's cart to pieces. He went to Dr. Cuss's office and smashed everything. He threw street lamps through windows and cut the telegraph wires. After the invisible man's rage was over, he left Iping, and no one ever saw, heard, or felt him ever again.